Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Star Center Olympus, Unarius Revelations. And I'm very honored to have Jennifer Stovall and Paula Rich Greenwood here to discuss Crystal Mountain Cities. Greetings and welcome. How are you, Paula and Jen?
Hi. Really well, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. It's great to be talking to both of you. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Amazing. Today, I can't remember how long it's been.
Yeah, it's been months at least. So I was very happy when I saw your names for tonight.
Well, it's always an
happy
honor
to be here.
It is. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Some Crystal Mountain Cities.
Yes. It's a wonderful subject with very interesting history and purpose.
So who would like to start and introduce us? Jennifer, Paula, which of you would like to start?
I will start.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Jennifer.
I will start that the Crystal Mountain Cities are an intermediary plane of frequencies of love and light of the higher beings. And they were created over a long span, eons took to build these, and they're built from the mind energies of these higher beings. And so it was December 23, 1973, at midnight, that all of the temples and all of the energies were put into focus and into function for the earth plane people to be able to attune to these Crystal Mountain Cities to receive this beautiful love and light of these higher beings. And we know these beings that have lived physical lives here, such as Socrates, Pythagoras, Swedenborg, and then Uriel or Ruth Norman had channels, and the channel brought through this information into the book called, it's Tesla Speak 6, and it's the celebration of the millennium.
That is one of my favorite Unarius books, by the way. I have like four copies of it. And
it's amazing because it's so small. It's a paperback, and in those few pages, you can attune to these beautiful Crystal Mountain Cities and receive this energy. And it's happened to so many students, myself, I know Paula, and we'll just start with that. Paula?
Yes. And so just to add to that is that the Crystal Mountain Cities are a higher astral plane, but not the highest astral plane. And it's an intermediary, it's a bridge to the even higher planes of Unarius. So the seven Norman, Ernest Norman and Ruth Norman, are great advanced visionaries who started the teachings of Unarius of science and spirit in 1954. And over the years, he visited these higher astral planes, seven astral planes that Unarius refers to of the planes of the seven planes. Is there is Unarius, Orion, Hermes, Muse, Elysium, and I know I'm leaving someone one of them out, but anyways, there's seven higher astral plane, celestial world, where when you are more developed on your spiritual evolution, you can go there in between lifetimes. You can go there at night for sleep teachings to get help with creativity or science or education or teaching. And the Crystal Mountain Cities are seven crystal mountains created from the mind energies of these advanced beings that act as a bridge between the physical dimension of this world and other worlds to intermediary plane of the seven Crystal Mountain cities that are very similar to the higher seven planes that Ernest Norman visited astrally in 1954. And so in 1973, this bridge and intermediary plane was created.
And if I remember correctly from my readings, it connects to the plains of Unarius, or the plains of Shambhala, as they were called earlier.
Yes, and that's the seven planes of Unarius that are higher celestial planets. Orion is the color associated with that plane or planet is yellow, and it's dedicated to teaching and education. Hermes, I know, Hercules, you relate to that plane, which is philosophy. Muse, the color for Muse is coral, and it's the creative arts with music, dance, literature, painting, sculpting, drawing, acting. And then Eros is the planet dedicated to science. Venus is for healing. It's like a mother, celestial mother, heavenly planet for Earth, where advanced beings on that plane oversee many of our nurses and doctors on this world and other physical planets. And then also when people die tragically or unexpected for healing in their hospital high energy, healing energy structures are on Venus. And Elysium is the last one, which is the color associated with it is violet, and it is dedicated to devotion, worship, and all the various religions. People can go there and continue with their devotion on whatever path they were on. And so the Crystal Mountain Cities is an intermediate plane or planet, seven different mountains and with cities and temples and amphitheaters, very similar to the higher ones, the seven I just mentioned. But the Crystal Mountain Cities are more for a beginner, someone that's fairly new on their progressive spiritual evolution.
Wow. It's very good that they did that. It forms a bridge to not only these worlds and their higher versions, but also to the Unarian teachings. And the Unarian Center is not on a literal Crystal Mountain City, but it might as well be for the work that it's doing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, and the frequencies in that building, in that structure, because these higher minds that are part of this Unarius organization, this spiritual brother sisterhood, thousands of advanced beings, but the primary, the four hierarchy that founded Unarius at this time on Earth with Ruth and Ernest Norman and Leonardo da Vinci, or Archangel Michael, Raphael, Muriel, and Uriel. That's their advanced titles and places. So they all incarnated on Earth at the same time, different years, starting back in Nikola Tesla, whatever year he was that the early 1900s? Down to the more recent Ernest and Ruth Norman, Uriel and Raphael. And so they all came as a spiritual mission and purpose to bring those higher frequency energy emanations that they consist of because of their advanced development, to bring it and polarize that frequency to planet Earth.
And now Unarius maintains that through reading the books, one can find one's way to the astral locations of these Crystal Mountain cities. And I found that that's true. And in fact, currently, starting in August, I've been visiting the celestial worlds of Unarius, the ones that are listed on the bookstore site.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I've been to Venus, I've been to Muse, and I've been to Elysium, and soon I'll be going to Unarius, and then to Hermes, and then onwards. And of course, I'm always attuned to the Greek current or the Grecian current that's described in Tesla Speaks. So there, I'm there all the time anyway. But it's been a very worthwhile journey so far. And every time I read the books and every time I try to interface with the books, I get something new out of them, a new perspective that I missed before. So even though it's a massive undertaking, I plan to continue until September. It's been very productive.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Great to know. Great to hear. I know for all of us, I was going to say that, when we're studying, and because all of the books and the CDs were carefully made and carry these fourth dimensional energies, so they were polarized by Uriel and the moderator when they were here on Earth, they carry that higher frequency, so that, and then they're taken to go to these inner planes, and the Crystal Mountain cities are closer in frequency to this Earth plane, so that more souls can go, and especially in their sleep, they can go through and visit very quickly and get healing, cleansing, as we call them, from these wonderful energies that are being projected from these beings of light and love, and also go there to learn, many creative expressions, as well as other forms of expression, integration, leadership. And the other plane I have to add is Unarius, which is the orange ray, which is for leadership and integration. And a lot of there are presidents who are very integrated, actually came from that plane, studied there. And so you can feel that frequency. And I know with all of these different expressions, you can see it in the world with people that just carry that energy with them, such as Socrates, Leonardo da Vinci, Nikola Tesla, and all of their expressions. And so those beings have been working on this for many, many thousands of years, and we're beginning, but that's what these Crystal Mountain cities were made for, so that we can go there and then be more prepared to go on to the higher planes of Unarius.
Thank you. Paula, would you like to expand on that?
No, I that was a perfect explanation, and I just would say that Hercules, you're a perfect example of how by reading these books and studying them and being in tune with that frequency of the Unarius spiritual teachers, you are able to go to these various celestial planes of Unarius, and anyone can. We may not remember it that we were in some class in our sleep while we're dreaming, but sometimes you do remember. I remember a few encounters on Venus myself that I was consciously aware of, a healing experience that I had when I first came to Unarius. So it's a wonderful way to elevate your spiritual frequency by reading and listening to these teachings.
Yes, I would agree. And initially, it sounds like science fiction from the 50s, from the 60s. But if you leave yourself open to the material, you'll eventually start having dreams and meditate in your meditations. You'll start getting information. And I agree. A lot of times you won't remember anything until it's time for you to remember. And then all of a sudden, it'll come back to you with exactly what you need for the moment you find yourself in.
And I think a good part of this, too, is coming back and feeling refreshed from, listening to, I know we've been listening to this in class, we've been listening to the Donna CD, the original recording. They've done such a beautiful job of making sure it's very clear and cleaned up. And so just listening to those, students are, you know, get transcended, and we, as we say, go out of your body and in your psychic anatomy, which is your energy body, and visit these higher worlds or the crystal mountain cities, and come back and feel refreshed. And I know it's happened to many times. And so you need different types of help. So the healing is where we get this incredible help, which is at our, you know, it's at our fingertips and our ears and eyes, if we want to read or if we want to listen to it. And it can be so helpful in just everyday life.
And the internet's provided great opportunities to share the information and to store it so that people can find it. And Unarius, from its very beginning, has always been very generous in sharing the information that's come through their channels or that was written by their leaders.
Right, right. That's the beauty, yeah.
Now, which of the planes of Unarius are you most attuned to?
I'll start, and then Jennifer, you can. But for me, the two planes I have the most affinity with are Muse, the creative arts, because in this lifetime I've been a poet, an artist, a dancer, a painter, and Venus, because of the dire straits that I was in when I first came to Unarius. I was aligned to some really lower astral entities, and once I started coming to Unarius, I discovered, I had these conscious experiences of being on Venus, imbued in this white, super white healing light. And when I was reading, I'll let Jennifer describe what she is most relates to most.
Well, I also wanted to say that on each of the planes, it's divided into the seven different sections, so that you could, on Venus, they have a section of Muse, and that's why it can seem like, you know, when you visit, let's say, the plane of Eros, there is a, you know, creative expression of science, and there is the understanding of how to teach that science, which is Orion. So each plane has those different rays within them. So it can seem like you're going to a lot of different planes, but it could be just one plane, because you are actually attending school in that expression on that plane. But for me, I do feel that Elysium, for one, because I was a very, my whole life, you know, interested in understanding God and, you know, spirit. And I had a time of meditation, clairvoyance. And then Venus, of course, is understanding healing. And then also Muse, because I love the art. So I feel I've had some instruction, but a very long way to go. And so I just really appreciate Unarius, because it's opened up so much of that expression to me that I never knew existed. And that's true with anyone who starts to study. You don't know where it's going to take you. The love and the light that you feel, you just want to try everything. I know I never thought I could you know, maybe write a few lines of poetry or do a big painting. And when Uriel was here, that was the time she really had students doing lots and lots of expression, because she was just pouring out this energy to help bring that out in all of us, which she did. And it still regenerates. And you can see those expressions that were done then. They carry that energy. And they're still, all these years later, 35, 40 years later, still carry that high energy that she had. So I will leave it there for now.
Thank you.
I'd like to add something that even if you're not a Unarian student, and even though Earth is one of the lowest physical planets in our universe, frequency-wise, everyone to some extent has a higher spiritual self. And they,
yeah.
and they, when they are creating anything, whether it's music or art or a recipe or a design, architectural design or whatever the creative form that they are working on, they are in their higher mind. They are aligned to their higher
yes.
spirit teachers that you know that we all have, but also their own higher self and development just by creating or listening to some beautiful music or walking in the forest and, you know, getting in tune with that creative infinite life that
mm-hmm.
the beautiful
mm-hmm.
parts of our planet, you know, you unknowingly
yeah.
are attuned to our higher self.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point.
I find that I have attunement with all of the planes to one degree or another, but some of them take a precedent to various points. A lot
mm-hmm.
of my life is spent with talking to people about different systems of belief and trying to find the commonality and
right.
Trying to discourage the parts of religion that can be very unhealthy because religion can be very dangerous and it can cause all sorts of problems and even spiritual slavery, some aspects of religion. So
yeah.
dialogue is one I've been holding my whole life. And even for my podcast, I try to get people to share their beliefs and to talk so that we can see past whatever opinions people have about things to really listen to each other and to share what it is that we found of value. And Hermes, of course, as you guys pointed out, that's very big on my attunement. Lately, I'd say for the past decade or so, I've been exercising my creativity. I've been hosting these podcasts. I've been getting published in paranormal anthologies. I think I've been over 20 of them at this point. And Unarius was an inspiration because Unarius kind of gave me permission to try and be creative uh-huh. and to experiment with several different ways. So that I see as a great service that Unarius offers, giving people permission to go past whatever they think about their ability to be creative and to just let them be creative.
Yeah. Right. No limitations.
Yes, and it's wonderful the work that you're doing. Hercules, I really appreciate everything that you're doing and giving us opportunity to share, you know, what we're involved with and the teachings that we're part of, but also just enlightening the world with whatever guests you're having on and the discussions and dialogues that you're having with them. So thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for your kind words, and I think very highly of you and what you're doing with keeping this information alive in the world and with sharing it. And again, I admire Unarius for a variety of things. And one of them is the fact that they're so open with sharing and they don't insist that you accept things, you know, just because somebody said so. You know, you're encouraged to go and find out on your own. And no
right.
one's going to force you into beliefs that you don't feel comfortable with. And also,
right.
Unarians take responsibility for the world. And we live in an age now where many people who are in power are abdicating responsibility for the world. And Unarians
yeah.
refreshingly accept the responsibility for this reality and whatever part they might have played in causing this reality and seek to learn from the reality they find themselves in. So that's phenomenally
yes.
admirable to me.
Right.
Yes. And you bring up a good part, a good point that Unarius, one of the primary teachings of Unarius is past life therapy and learning how to heal ourselves and change our karma, if you want to refer to it that way, the negations that we've done in previous lifetimes and changing those aberrated energy structures that are reflecting in us through hate, anger, violence, all the negative emotions, and then recognizing the past life where, you know, we were involved with people in our current day-to-day life where we have negative past lives with them, and how to change that, those aberrated energy vortices that are part of our own psychic anatomy, our spiritual body, our ethereal body, and to a positive, and working it out and letting it go.
Yes, definitely. That is phenomenally powerful. And unfortunately, our focus is kind of like the little arrow that the mouse moves around on your computer. And there's such a vast information. Even within Unarius alone, I feel a lifetime isn't enough to even really study all the information that Unarius has made available. There's just so much there, so many treasures that there's not enough time in life to read them all or to immerse yourself in them all.
Yes, it'll take lifetimes to gain all of that knowledge and information and evolve spiritually to where we want to be, you know, to eventually graduate beyond this Earth planet.
Yes, and as you grow, it grows with you. It's like the books, you know, you can read something, I can read a chapter that I read years ago and read it now, and it's fresh and new because of growth that's taken place, and I'm reading, you start to, because you're seeing everything from a different level. You know, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I find the same thing.
So the importance of the Crystal Mountain Cities right now is that if you think of the time-wise, on December 23rd of this year will be exactly 50 years that this was put into motion, that Uriel polarized it on this earth plane, December 23, 1973. So it's pretty interesting that it came up just now to talk about. And, you know, it was the hierarchy went into the flame, which was on the very topmost part of the mountain with all the temples, and then that all that energy radiated out, and that put all of this energy into motion to help the earth plane, to serve them, to serve us basically, and to help all the earth worlds to grow and to, you know, help to speed up their evolution, as well as then they don't have to come back and reincarnate time and time again to give us this information. It can be an attunement, and they can, I mean, they're receiving as well. With the infinite, there's no limitation. So they're receiving from even higher planes beyond the Shambhalas and the highest planes of Unarius. So I thought that was a very interesting point that was brought out in the book.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, and You know, Hercules, you talked about reading the books and then coming back and reading it again. I don't know if it was you or Jennifer, but today I hadn't read that Tesla Speaks Volume 6 series. It talks about the Crystal Mountain Cities, the manifestation of it, and all the details about it for years until today. And there was so many new things that I got out of it. But one of the things that I found interesting, and this is when they were talking about this bridge and this intermediary plane that people from Earth and other planets, other physical planets, beings, people from other physical worlds can go to those cities, the Crystal Mountain Cities, and one of the first things they do when they get there, because we don't have the same frequency as the beings that live on that plane and higher planes have. And so I read where it described going through to one of the temples and going through a flame ceremony, which this weekend at Unarius on Sunday, December 10th, 7 o'clock Pacific time, we will be doing a flame ceremony. And what's that? And in the on the Crystal Mountain City, when the people when they went into this temple and this structure, they walked up these crystalline blocks in the center of this amphitheater with thousands of everything is made out of energy and light on that plane. And they walk through these three flames, lights, high frequency energy light structures of I'm not going to get the correct order. I wrote it down, but it's blue, gold, and rose. I know rose is the last one, but and what's it? When you stand in each of those light frequencies, your spiritual astral self is raised in frequency, and your physical as well. Your physical form is raised in frequency. Those light rays or flames, as it's called, in that temple oscillate, and it's also a healing technique
right.
where these higher beings that are part of projecting, these very advanced beings that are part of projecting these energies, they're oscillating them to us, that it helps, it's a cleansing, it helps clears out negations and even lower astral entities and people, you know, they're not ghosts, I can't remember the name that they're called, but people who roam the earth who haven't moved on to a higher plane because they're too attached to the physical plane, those beings can attach to us, whether they want to smoke to us or drink to us or drug to us or have sex to us. Whatever their addictions and habits were, they used, you know, physical people. And a flame ceremony was the reason I came to you, Narius, in the beginning. And I'll tell it quickly. In September 1982, I had a near-death experience, and I was using drugs at the time. And I had a colleague who was a Unarian student. I was a student of Paramahansa Yogananda. And when I had this, one weekend I had this near-death experience with a heart attack. I didn't know it was a near-death right away. But that Monday at work, well, first I started feeling these sensations of, I saw two white beings that were, I thought, angels, two forms of pure white-lighted beings in form, and I felt on my body, I could feel these, felt like rubber bands on my legs and arms, and it felt like something was choking my neck. I couldn't see what it was. I didn't know what it was, and I was talking to my colleague. I didn't describe this to him, but he, as a Unarian student, the teachers who were they talked through him and told him to tell me, and he didn't know that he was doing this, but that I needed to go to their healing flame ceremony because when you use drugs, it puts holes in your aura, and these lower astral beings, snakes and leeches, attach themselves to you. And then also disincarnate people attach themselves to you. Like when I looked in the mirror, I could see a scar on my face, which physically I don't have a scar on my face. But right after that NDE, I had all these sensations. My psychic abilities had intensified for a while. And so I went to Unarius for the purpose of going to the healing flame ceremony because I knew I needed to get these things off of me. And they did. They did remove it from me. And, in fact, I was able to break free of a cigarette addiction. And the near-death experience, instantaneously, the beings that were working with me for that instantaneously removed my depression, the suicidal thoughts I was having, and my drug addiction. So,
wow,
that's how I found you, Marius.
Well,
that's profound, and I'm glad you had the healing from it. There are a lot of entities that were either human or not human who attach themselves to people for a variety of reasons, and people don't know that things are attached to them usually. Although sometimes they'll find that they're talking, they're having conversations with someone in their head and they can't hear consciously what is being said, but it seems to be a conversation that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
A lot of people who do have addictions have, often stated that something is like pushing them on, like urging them on. And I know from when I used to investigate hauntings that the ghosts or the discarnates will try to get you in whatever state of mind that they're in. So you'll start getting thoughts and feelings that aren't you. And it takes a while to learn what
exactly.
are you and what aren't your feelings. So Unarius gives people a lot of, beyond the spiritual, it gives people information on how to deal with the psychic and how to understand what's going on with that aspect of our lives as well.
And yeah. It really does. It's very important that, and that's how everything functions, understanding that psychic anatomy, your energy body, and how it functions, that you have these three levels. You have the subconscious, which is basically what we think, you know, every day, our conscious mind, and then our past lives and our mental consciousness, and the super consciousness, which everyone has, the higher self, the super consciousness, and so it needs to be developed. And if you're not working on that, then yes, you're just attracted and kind of, as they've said, bounce around with your consciousness. And it can be easy to get depressed, and you don't realize that your thoughts aren't really your thoughts. They're
right.
other people's thoughts, and they can be, you know, ancestral. They can be, it could be, you know, a grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, you know, and knowing, having the tools to work with that, that is one of the real beautiful aspects of Unarius, because you can quickly identify, wait a minute, that seems very strange, you know, that isn't like me to want this kind of food or, you know, do this sort of thing. So, you start to get a barometer of when you're off base and just what it feels to be in that alignment where you just feel so peaceful and so, you know, calm and loving the world and loving everyone. That's, I think, really something that Unarius brings to each person who takes up the study.
Oh, certainly so. And what you shared is extremely powerful, and I'd just like to add a little bit to something somebody could try. If you're listening to the voices inside your head that are giving you negative feedback, I have a little one, to catch it and to realize it might not be you, and then to ask myself, who does that sound like? Who said that to me? And a lot of times you'll be surprised. It is, like you said, it could be your grandmother, it could be a teacher, it could be, you know, any one of a number of people. And if you really pay attention to what is being said and you ask yourself, where did you hear this before? If it happened in this incarnation, you can identify it. And that makes it easier to challenge that negativity because you know where it came
right.
from.
Yes. And the other, go ahead. I was going to mention the other aspect is a lot of times you hear someone say, oh, you know, he was channeling so-and-so or she was channeling so-and-so. And then, you know, we've talked about depression and that can be other people coming through. But on the positive side, then you can channel higher beings. And that's what this is all about. So the depression, you know, you can get in tune with the lower astral, we call it lower astral, or these disincarnate beings or people that are unintelligent, and just because, as you know, they've passed on doesn't make them all intelligent. And so you
right.
can get in tune with Crystal Mountain cities and the higher frequencies that bring in this positive energy and the higher beings who want to, you know, help us and overshadow, not rule us, but to give guidance. And, you know, when you see that in your work and your everyday world, where you know that, you know, you had that help, you know, that was that what you were doing that, but there was that help. And so many authors have said, you know, I didn't write that, or I didn't, you know, I don't know how that happened, but I just sat down and started, you know, doing the painting or doing the artwork and was open and aligned with a higher self and with these very high spiritual beings. And in Unarius, what was beautiful is to know who those beings were. I know Uriel had, you know, someone come through, and Leonardo helped make a beautiful painting has come through all of the books, and same with the students. Different artists have overshadowed any of the students who have opened themselves to the artwork, et cetera. And Paula, you can talk about that as well with your poetry and with your artwork. So, you know, that's like the positive side of it, and which really is the purpose for these teachings, and now for this wonderful, this is really a celebration to have the Crystal Mountain Cities this year being the 50th anniversary and when they were first started. So I wanted to mention that as well.
Thank you. Paula, would you like to add to that?
I just would like to add up to something that you were talking about where you might hear someone and you're trying to figure out it. Is it someone you know, or is it someone from a past life? And as a Unarius student, it's a good opportunity to pull out our journals and ask, you know, that we don't have the information come to us right away, like what past life am I reliving here? And why is this entity attracted to me at this moment? Because everything is frequency and relationship and harmonics. And so whatever lower astral beings come to us, there's a frequency there and some connection from some past life, you know, whether it was in the cult or who knows where. But it's a good opportunity to self-analyze, well, who is this person? What is this past? Why are they attached to me or attracted to me right now? And you may not get the information in that moment, but it may come in bits and pieces in your mind. I used to drive around with a little bitty notebook because when those insights would come to my consciousness, I would write it down really quickly because, you know, thoughts come and go so quickly and you don't remember every thought that we have throughout the day. So that's a good opportunity to practice the past life therapy.
Oh, yes, most certainly so. And also if you're working with dreams or altered states, you think you're going to remember, but most of the time you're not going to remember if you don't make
an
effort to write it down. First thing, you know, before you get out of bed, just write down those dreams, because otherwise by the time you get up, most of the time they're gone, unless it's something really, really intense.
Right.
Yeah, I used to keep a dream journal next to my bed. I need to get back into that habit because once in a while, not very often anymore, but I'll dream about Uriel. And once I dreamt about the moderator, Ernest Norman. But I like to write those dreams down because I know it was a contact, you know, when I have those dreams. But also the scary dreams, you know, that's a clue what's going on in my life. Why am I having this lower astral dream and what does it mean?
And it's very interesting what both of you said about how the Crystal Mountain Cities are not the highest they're not the highest levels of the astral plane. They're high, but not the highest, because I found that to be true with heaven worlds generally. You visit other heaven worlds too, and you see very clearly that as exalted as they may seem, they're still astral places, and that they're astral places that are higher than them. But for many people at that point in time, that's the concept of heaven that they're most attuned with. So they find themselves there until they can see past that heaven as well and realize that there's more.
Yeah. Right. And I also experienced that where I saw a few times I've seen into the astral, like an auditorium, and you know the people did not seem awake, and I just thought, why am I here? And I just realized, you know, I was not in the higher world. This was not a higher world. This was actually lower, and I was a lower, you know, astral place, and recognizing that right away. Oh my goodness, you know, that's really helpful just to be aware of where your consciousness is at.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And the auditoriums, those I know well from when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I used to have dreams almost every night of being in auditoriums learning things. And some of them were like amphitheaters. They were like circular places. not like a gladiator arena, but like an amphitheater, you know, where you go support something. And those were magical, and I can still remember them, you know, very, very clearly and intensely. And sometimes I'd meet somebody in dream, and then I would meet them in the waking world. And very rarely, but it did happen occasionally, that they would remember being in these amphitheaters in dream and, you know, going to classes and things like that.
Crypto Mountain cities, they have these auditoriums where that's where they, everything is a preparation, but getting ready to go through the flames and going through these healing cleansing flames, and it doesn't take long at all. And they, as Paula was describing, they're taking on the ray of each level of the flame, the golden and first the blue, and then the gold, and then the rose or the red. And each time you go through that, more and more of that energy body is being cleansed.
Go ahead.
It sounds like what you're describing as a child being in these amphitheaters, that you were on some teaching center on some higher astral plane. And I really do believe that you've been preconditioned spiritually before you incarnated to do the work you're doing and to make contact with Unarius. And very likely you were attending classes as a child at a higher astral plane, some astral plane for teachings, maybe preparation for what you were going to be doing later on as an adult.
Perhaps, and I'm sure that both of you have had preparation before coming here doing what you're doing as well.
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah, definitely guided to Unarius, that's for sure. And it's interesting how so many different students come in just a various of ways, you know, when that's a story in itself, how they find their way. Some have had dreams with just the name Unarius in it. Others see a TV show and they just know that's it. You know, I've got to check this out, or I think this is it. I got to move, you know, because, they've set that up. Right. So, each person it's really a personal thing. When you look back and you just see how that guidance has helped. I know, because I'm originally from Michigan and I never thought I would be coming out to California, at least for a good, you know, 20 years until my family made a move. And so you just start to look at that and just see, oh, wow, there's just a lot of help and things that are done and set up in that way. Right,
yes,
Paula?
Yes, and I think part of my preconditioning to find my way to Unarius is because I've killed myself in a lot of lifetimes. And in my as an adolescent up until age 26, I had suicidal thoughts and very nearly killed myself on numerous occasions. So I know I've been to Venus because the suicides, that's where they go for healing and reflection and teaching. And so I believe my spiritual teachers at whatever level I was at in between lifetimes and before this lifetime, it was planned out for me to find my way to Unarius to get the help that I needed so I wouldn't kill myself yet again.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because you've enriched my life by being here. I'm sure you've enriched lives of many other people. So I'm glad you found your way to Unarius.
Thank you. Me too.
Me three.
Now, unfortunately, our hour, we have like 10 minutes left. And you said that there's an event in Unarius with the flames, the blue, the yellow, and the rose flames. How can somebody attend, or how can somebody view this ceremony? Because those colors are very powerful colors in the metaphysical community. Like in Theosophy, the blue is the color of power or will. The rose is the color of love, and the yellow is the color of wisdom. and the Rosicrucians have a different configuration with those colors, different meanings. But they're considered very powerful and transformative. So how can people attend the ceremony or learn more about the ceremony?
Well, it is very beautiful. So if you're in the San Diego area, or you can drive to San Diego, it's Sunday, December 10th. It starts at 7 p.m., and they ask that you arrive by 6:50, and you would be attending in person at the Unirs Academy. It is $15 in person, or you can pay at the door, and then you can Zoom. So I hope you'll do that, Hercules. It's $5, and you can go to the website, which is unarius.org, and go to the event and register there. And it would be wonderful to, I know a lot of people gain, just, you know, have that experience as well. I've done that by Zoom, and so have you, Paula, right?
Yes, and I will be on Zoom this weekend, this
great.
Sunday, when for the flame ceremony. And also, the Academy of Science is in El Cajon, which is inland east part of San Diego. And you can, there's a number you can call, 800-475-7062, or email, like Jennifer said, uriel@unarius.org. And the center itself is open on Saturdays, 12 to 4. You can go by, or you can call and make an appointment. Also, you can make appointments for Tuesdays and Fridays, 10:30 to 4, if you want to go in person. It's a beautiful building. It looks like a Grecian temple. If you live in that area, I would recommend you at least, the very least, go and walk around. But definitely, if you can, go to the flame ceremony. And there's classes Sunday and Wednesday that you can attend on Zoom or in person, 7 o'clock to 8:30 Pacific time.
And so it's really good to contact the Academy ahead of time. And this helps to step up your consciousness in the new year cycle of 2024. And also, after that flame ceremony, there's a candlelight following the walkthrough, a physical replication of the inner.
Wow. And Unarius also has shows that can be viewed on public access. So I guess you can check with your local public access channel on YouTube and on Vimeo, I believe, as well.
Yes.
Yeah, the Vimeo
website. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, the Vimeo off of the Unarius website has a lot of the lesson course and the advanced lesson course, as well as many of the different events that went on, and interviews with Uriel and her biography and much more.
And it's free. All of those Vimeo are free, the videos and classes, whatever it is that you're just explore. It's the wealth of information. And then in February, February 9th, 10th, and 11th in Los Angeles, I don't know the exact name of it, but an expo, some kind of conscious life expo is taking place. And Unarius will have a booth there for those 3 days, and then at least one of the days, if not two, two of the students will be speaking, and they usually give a demonstration about, they talk about Tesla and the Tesla Tower, and they give it a little demonstration of that. And so some of us students will be there. If anyone in the area wants to go to that expo, look us up.
And Unarius is always great at expos. I've been to expos in New York with Unarians there, including you guys. And
I met you there.
And the demonstration with the Tesla is fantastic. And everybody is very friendly, and they have a wealth of information to share with you. It's a fantastic time.
Great.
It is. I love going to them, and I even will go attend a couple of workshops myself. Usually the UFO ones I let you go. That's another part of Unarius that we haven't gotten into tonight. But you know, in October, Unarius has an Interplanetary Confederation conference every year, and there's lots of transmissions and videos and audios of contact with these people from planets in our own Milky Way galaxy, and the healing that Uriel had when she made contact with those various planets. So lots of information.
And then there's been this documentary that just came out, too.
Yes, I'm excited to eventually see that a lot.
Yeah, that will be
Welcome Space Brothers.
In the future. That's in the future.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome Space Brothers, yeah.
It is so beautiful and uplifting that he did a fantastic job. Jody Willey, who was the producer, well, she spearheaded the whole thing. It went on for at least 8 years of interviews and video, you know, with cameras. And but to see the final time, many of us cried throughout the whole hour long. And so that they're looking, Hercules, to take it to New York. We had a Zoom meeting with Jody and the students not too long ago, and they're, you know, brainstorming, talking about the different film festivals that she hopes to take it to. And so many, whoever of us that can go to some of these places, we will go where it's being premiered at some of these festivals. So maybe we'll see you in New York.
That would be great. If I can do it, I will definitely do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But meantime, this is great preparation and great way to bring in the new year and to be on that very positive high beam for 2024 with the Crystal Mountain Cities and the Flame Ceremony coming up.
That's a wonderful place to conclude today's conversation. I want to thank you both. You're awesome. And I've missed you and enjoyed speaking with both of you. And I look forward to our next conversation. And I want to thank all our listeners, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you're going to view us later or listen to us later more accurately on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And I will put links to this weekend's event so the people who check out my pages can find it readily.
Great.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening and a wonderful holiday season.
And you as well.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
See you on the internet.